Bears fall in Santa Clara, losing their seventh straight game. They lose this one to San Francisco 38-13 to fall to 4-9 on the season, thus clinching yet another losing streak, losing season, which will be, again, their 11th in 12 seasons here. They have, again, I mentioned seven losses in a row, and with four games remaining, they will play the Minnesota Vikings next week on Monday Night Football. Then they will host the Detroit Lions on December 22nd. They will conclude their home schedule with a game against the Seahawks at Soldier Field on Thursday Night Football. And then finally, that's the day after Christmas. And then finally, they will wrap their season in Lambeau against the Packers. We'll see what the Packers will be playing for, but there's a high likelihood there will be some playoff positioning involved in that game for the Packers. So they'll probably be giving you a decent effort at the very least. And so, Pat, I brought this up a month ago to both Waddle and Sylvie, and I asked the question, when there was eight games remaining, was it more likely that the Bears finish 0-8 or 4-4? And both of them said 4-4 at the time, and I said, I don't know. And now, at this point, they are 0-4 in that eight-game stretch with four remaining, and now that I look at these remaining four games and after the effort today, I'm feeling a little chesty about where my mind was at a month ago, because they are certainly not going to go 4-4 over their final eight. I don't know if they get one of these wins when you consider the three divisional opponents and the Seahawks, who won again today and are playing themselves. They're trying to win the NFC West, so every game is going to be paramount for them. I mean, this is a hellacious schedule to close it out. They're on the seven-game losing streak. I mean, 11-game losing streak to close out the year is a very realistic possibility.
No, 100%. Listen, and a lot can happen. You know, like, I'll say this. This could have been we tried to get things right real quick. It didn't work out the way we wanted to. We just got to figure out what the new head coach is in here and lock things down. And all of a sudden, they win some divisional games that they were very close to winning before we got into the San Francisco game. But it's impossible to sit there and feel comfortable that they're going to be able to do it. It's impossible to sit there and feel like, yeah, it's a guarantee that the Bears are going to get one of these next few games, because every team outside of you still has something to play for and is showing effort in the fact that they have something to play for. And right now you're out of the playoffs. You don't have anything to play for, but I would hope that, like J-Mac always says, right? Are you playing for your job? Is this a place you want to continue to play football? Do you want to play in the National Football League? Like it really is showing your best tape the rest of the season. Are you willing to do that? And it didn't look like it today.
Not at all. Not at all. There was no pride, no fight. You know, and listen, understandable. The Niners, they're a tough matchup. Kyle Shanahan, one of the best play callers, if not the best in the NFL. He will expose your weaknesses, and the Bears have plenty of those on defense right now. But at the very least, Thomas Brown, the offense, you need to respond as well. The 49ers were shorthanded defensively.
Yeah.
They did not have Nick Bosa, their best pass rusher. And yet, you, again, muster up four total yards in that first half. It was dead and gone before you could even get, again, to the locker room at halftime. And that is just what's so disappointing about this, so disheartening for Bears fans. And I think that leads us nicely to our next caller, Mark, who's in Lincoln Park, who's going to ask the same question I think we're all asking tonight. Mark, what's going on, man? You're on the post game show.
First of all, Jeff, great fantasy show this morning. Thanks.
Thank you.
Although Mooney had a good game, and that poor caller that asked you, you steered him away from.
Listen. Thanks for pointing out all my foibles, Mark. But that's okay.
He was like, "Great show, by the way. You suck."
No. Pat, I'm so happy to talk to you.
What's going on, Mark?
You're the one guy that holds all the players accountable. I love that about you, my friend.
Thank you.
I can't wait to meet you Thursday night if you're at Benny's.
I'll try to.
Guys, I was so excited for the bump today. I was so excited. I've never seen something more pathetic in my life. Those players wanted that coach fired, as did we.
Yeah.
They got what they wanted, and what did I see? Keenan Allen, drop a ball.
Yep.
DJ Moore, drop a ball.
Yeah.
The the safeties and the corners have become a sieve. I don't know what the defensive coordinator is doing. If Jalen Johnson wants to be the man, well, then line up on Kittle, for God's sakes. Like, put a safety on him, and if that's not going to work, put Jalen Johnson on him. He's the guy that's striking you with those chunks. How they don't adjust to it, guys, was pathetic. It should have been 28-0 at the end of the first.
Yeah.
First half.
Yeah,
that was,
yes.
That yeah, got a touchdown call back for a hold?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brock Purdy.
That was the most pathetic display of players wanting a coach fired to show up with that bump. That was embarrassing, Jeff and Pat. I couldn't watch the second half. I went to my kid's hockey game, and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you know I got season tickets. I'm just, like, so pissed right now that was the player performance. That was all on players.
No.
And one of those safeties could have gone, I'm on Kittle the rest of the game. That's it. This is what I'm doing. And they didn't.
You got to go with what your scheme is. Yeah, you can't just flip the script and just say, you know, it's not basketball. You know, who's got Jordan? I got him. Yeah, can't. It doesn't work that way.
I'm with you, Pat. But look at Kittle's numbers.
Yeah. No, it's a sense of pride. You also have to appreciate you, Mark. Appreciate you 100%. It's a sense of pride, and it's something the Bears didn't show today, and that's sad. You know, you thought it was going to be the, hey, I showed up here to prove that it was Flus, that it wasn't us, especially coming off of the comments. I love the fact that he mentioned Keenan Allen in there. You can't have the comments, I think the players did enough to win this game.
Yes, the previous week.
And by the way, even though you had an entire first half of not doing anything, when then on the flip side of that, you come into this game and you drop key passes that keep drives going, that keep drives moving down the field. And, Jeff, it's like we talked about last week. Like, I can sit here and critique Thomas Brown and say, hey, call a better play here. You got to get your offense going here. You got to figure this out. But when I see, what was it, three drives basically where Caleb puts the ball on the numbers where it needs to be and you don't bring the football in.
Yeah.
How do I blame Thomas Brown? How do I look at Caleb Williams and say, this is your fault?
This is on the players,
they got to do more, but you can't have the players did enough to win this game and then the next week come out and play like a fried turd.
Completely agree. And listen, you know, I know what Mark's saying. I think, if anything, I'm just so disappointed with the effort. The truth is that you needed to be laser-focused as a unit.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to, again, go back to the old Bill Belichick. Do your job. You got to do your job and then trust that your coaches, the schemes, will work themselves out. You're not going to be perfect by any means. But it wasn't just Kittle. It was Juwan Jennings. Again, shredding them all over the place. It was Isaac Garendo out of the backfield ripping off long gainers. He's out there catching balls like he's Christian McCaffrey.
If you want to turn back into the team that people thought you were, just play the Bears. That's kind of what I'm seeing here. I'll ask you this though, Jeff, and you know, this team showed you basically nothing today. Would you rather know the answer 100%? See the team play however they play the rest of the way. It may look like this, but it just looks like they're done with the season. Or would you rather see a spunky team finishing 3-2 and we're sitting here looking at Thomas Brown at the end of the year like, maybe he kind of got it, but like, do we got to go get another head coach? Do we keep him? I kind of came out of this game and I was like, I want to know the answer 100%. If we go 4-1 the rest of the way, let it be the Bears looking dominant.
Yeah. No.
If we lose, let it be us getting the doors blown off the next 4 weeks, and we know 100% we're not bringing this guy back. Like, I don't want to live
on
in
your
the,
way. You're on
we're
your way.
We're off to a good start. I don't want to live in the 3-2.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a guy. Maybe you don't. Or a 2-3 of Packers and Lions wins.
I would say that. That 3-2 scenario is much more likely to convince Kevin Warren if he sees what he wants to see in Thomas Brown as a potential candidate to be the long-term solution at head coach. The reality for me was that I was going to have to see them go 5-0 in all reality.
Yeah.
And put up some impressive offensive numbers. I was going to need to see games like they had against the Jacksonville Jaguars, against this better competition, during multiple games. We didn't see that today.
Yeah.
I would be stunned to see if the next four games, all of a sudden, you get it right. Because after that effort today, you know, my problem now is you've paid a lot of players on this roster.
Yeah.
And to get this effort, you know, I don't think Mark mentioned Cole Kmet. He had one right in his bread, the two-point conversion.
The two-point conversions right on the numbers.
Like, what is going on here?
And you know? Cole has been horrible
yes.
the last 3 weeks or so. I mean, like, listen, I'm good job with the podcast, bud. But, hey, how about we handle the business on the field first? Like, I love the show. I think it's a good show. But how about we handle the business on the field first? How about we don't try to set screens or picks NFL? You know, and it looks like...
Terrible.
You know, Bill Wennington trying to pop Jordan open back in the 90s. Like, how about...
Terrible when it's the second time in a couple of weeks to have the same penalty called against you. You got to get that cleaned up and fixed, and that's not the case. And maybe that was a reflection on the coaching, not holding him accountable. We go back to the accountability word, right? But, boy, I'll be curious to see how they approach things this week when they're speaking publicly. Again, this is on the players. You know, they, like Thomas Brown, if they wanted to rally around him, they could have given a much better effort. They could have at least kept this game somewhat close. And again, to be blown out before you even stepped onto the field was just kind of insane, considering you got what you wanted as players. Just ridiculous. 312-332-3776. Let's check in with Cordell, who's on the west side.
Cordell.
What's going on, C?
What's going on, man?
What's happening, my guy?
So, a few things right now. I don't want to be too long, but do you get an extra sack for sacking the QB and the left tackle at
you
the
know,
same time?
You know, I asked that same question on my stream, Cordell. Like, I mean, Braxton Jones went down just as quickly as Caleb Williams did, if we're being honest.
Man, listen. Listen, I say this all the time. It's like a grown human pushing a baby. That dude gets pushed back so much, right? Now, another thing, or a question rather, and would you think, and I know, I'm sure it's probably going to be a no, but would it be in Caleb's best interest to actually sit for the rest of the season so he won't get killed because he's on pace to get sacked a ton? And you don't want to, and as much as they say negative or whatever they want to say about him, the kid looks like the guy.
Yeah.
So you want to protect you want to protect that. And third and last, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys, do you really think that Kyle Shanahan would want to come over here turmoil you're going on?
He answered that question tonight.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Cordell.
Yeah, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. And thanks for listening as well. John Lynch also put that to bed on a radio show earlier this week quite nicely. And listen, it was always kind of insane. I think, you know, if you're a Kyle Shanahan fan, it was wish casting, hopeful thinking. But
yeah,
the
I was
reality
putting all
is,
the evil out in the world I could.
You and I both.
I was like, hey, listen, this guy steals penguins from the San Francisco Zoo. You can't trust him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But nevertheless, listen, they'll sacrifice a few penguins as long as they call an offense like that. Boy, oh boy.
I'll say this to his should the Bears bench Caleb Williams question. You're assuming that next year the offensive line is going to be 100% better. And is that not what fans assumed coming into this season? You cannot bench him. He has to learn how to play through these struggles because guess what? As bad as it may be, and I hope they do address it, I think that they are logical up there enough to address it this coming offseason. That doesn't mean that the pieces are going to be right.
Caleb's been sacked now 56 times this season. That's the most through 13 games in Bears history. And there were some other stats there running by. He's been sacked the third most
All time
per drop back for a rookie, along with Jake Plummer and was it Carr?
David Carr is number one.
Well, actually, so in the way they sorted it out was sacks taken per game by a rookie quarterback. So Jake Plummer actually took more his rookie season per game than David Carr did. But Caleb Williams is third all time. You know, and he took seven more today.
Yeah.
You know, so that number only seems to be rising. And, you know, I don't know. You've got another game coming up against the Vikings next week, and we know they certainly get after you, and they'll send blitzes. You don't sit him right now. As long as he's healthy, he's not compromised, he needs to get out there because there are times at certain points during the season when the Bears' offensive line has been competent. And it has allowed him clean pockets in moments. And that in itself is extremely valuable. he needs to get those reps on the NFL field so that he can adjust to the speed. He's still adjusting to the speed. He still needs to feel what the rushes are like in these adverse conditions.
Yeah.
And he still needs to get down his timing with his receivers and develop that chemistry with Rome, with DJ, because the reality is those two guys, I do expect them to be here for the next couple of years at a minimum, right? So Keenan Allen, different story.
Yeah.
I know he said he wanted to be back this week, but we'll see what his demands are contractually. He may not be willing to come back to Chicago for the amount of money that they would want him to come back for, have him back.
Even if he does.
Do you want him?
I think the question is, because you've got the comp pick attached to him as well, depending on what kind of contract he signs, is it more worth it to take, I believe at worst it's a fourth-round pick? Basically, you get back what you traded for him. Is it more worth it to just take the pick back than it is to re-sign him moving forward where, I mean, listen,
his age and all the problems you have on the offensive line to address, it's a fair point. 312-332-3776. Taking your calls on the post-game show after a seventh straight loss for the Bears. I'm Jeff Miller along with Pat the Designer on ESPN 1000. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've still got one finger left for the amount of yards the Bears had in the first half.
You did the fingers in the wrong order. You should have started with a different one.
You're probably right. For all those on the YouTube channel, 1, 2, 3,
There you go.
We got 4 first half yards.
Oh, boy.
From the Chicago Bears. So much for that new coach bump that we were all hoping for.
Got none of that.
My, oh, my. Just abysmal. The Bears have lost seven in a row, and they have now clinched a losing record for the 11th time in the past 12 seasons. Not that we expected them to find themselves out of this nosedive that they put themselves in, but, man, I don't even know where to go. Final score, 38-13, but for me, everything focuses in on the first half, because as bad as Thanksgiving Day was to have that first half, to follow it up after the firing of your head coach with that effort was staggering. I mean, listen, I know that the 49ers are also a team in dire straits that is playing for their playoff lives, and they can fool themselves into thinking if they make it to the playoffs, they can go ahead and make a legitimate Super Bowl run because they were there last year, whether it's legitimate or not. However, come on, man. The players, they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
Bears fans, for the most part, got what they wanted, but we heard a lot of chirping from the players leading up to the firing of Matt Eberflus, and then even continuing this week into Monday after the firing of Matt Eberflus, when players had an opportunity to speak to the media on their own local hits on radio, and to have that be the effort, Pat, was just atrocious. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Pat the Designer, the post-game show right here on ESPN 1000. We're expecting we'll hear from J-Mac a little bit. He's obviously flying out from San Francisco tonight, so he's going to join us when he gets to the airport and hop on for a little bit. But until we get to him, we'll obviously take your calls as well, 312-332-3776. But, man, oh, man, my friend, you got dressed up for a terrible, terrible, terrible
actually,
football game.
Actually, I guess we've been real.
You look so much better.
I got the hat. Yeah, I can't for the online. I got the hat. Yeah, I mean, and listen, if we're being real, I got a little Undertaker vibes.
You do.
You know what I mean? Well, a little funeral action.
Rising from the dead, my
little
friend.
Funeral action. You know what I mean? It's not a... Nah, man, listen, you hate to say it in such a negative way, but they're a joke. They're a joke. That's the effort. And listen, I get not scoring. I get, right, not being a good enough team to do it, not having the talent to go out there and get the job done. But you didn't have the effort in today's game.
No.
You didn't have the fight. You got everything that you asked for. You got the guy out of there who was too passive. You moved on from the play caller who was throwing things off. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that those things aren't true. I do think that Matt Eberflus plays a big part in why this team is where they are today. I do think that Shane Waldron's play calling plays a big part in why this team is where they are today. And yeah, listen, Thomas Brown, hey, now you're the head man. You gotta find a way to get these guys to show some effort. But as players on the field, what happened to having pride in your job? Because it didn't look like there was any pride out there from that team.
No. They were outgained 319-4 in the first half. I mean, no team had been outgained by 300 yards and a half all season long. The Bears found a way to do that in one half. Just staggering. And I don't even know what you say. You know, McCaffrey went on injured reserve.
Yeah.
The backup running back, Jordan Mason, went on injured reserve. Listen, I understand Isaac Garendo is a talented speed merchant out there, but he didn't have to break too many tackles to rip off some long runs. Bears Bears were losing contain all over the place. Kyle Shanahan had them. He was doing whatever he wanted to do. George Kittle broke 130 receiving yards by the half,
yeah.
Pats.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You had... I lost count of the explosives. At one point, they were like at 8 explosives in the first half. The 49ers.
Eight plays of 20 yards, yes, or more in the... And there were still 7 minutes to go in the quarter.
First half. Yeah.
Yeah, in the first half. You know, like, listen, you started off here, right? The first thing is, when we talk about run defense, I don't know what happened. And for the love of God, don't tell me we lost Andrew Billings, because it was terrible then, too. His run defense numbers are not good this season. I don't know what happened from one season to another, but this may be one of the worst run defenses I've seen since John Fox was in the building. Like, you got a bunch of guys that have no idea how to keep contained. They have no idea where they need to be on the football field on run defense. They have no clue whose job is what on the field and whether the play is called right or not. For the love of God, I don't know if we're still playing football or if at some point, maybe, based on last week, maybe Cole Kmet does think this is basketball, so maybe the rest of the team believes it as well, because they don't believe in tackling anymore, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what has happened to this team from one season to the next, but it is an absolute joke what we're seeing on the run side, which just opens things up passing the football for a guy like Brock Purdy, who, listen, no matter what you want to say about how banged up this team is, there's still talent there. George Kittle is still standing there. Juwan Jennings may be a little bit more of a surprise, but there's still a Deebo Samuel. But you still got guys out there that can go out there and make plays. And you know what I saw on the other side of that field that we didn't see on the Chicago side? San Francisco took pride. San Francisco said, we still got a shot. We still got a chance to go out there and do something. We got to go do it. Let's do it.
And the truth is, though, the Bears wilted so easily that the 49ers didn't really they had no resistance. They put up a couple of touchdowns early, and it was over before you could blink. You know, I'm not even going to look at that second half. What's the point? You know, that you put yourself in a 4 freaking yards, Pat. 4 yards in the first half. You know, and oh, by the way, it's not like the 49ers. You mentioned Andrew Billings. The 49ers are missing far more talented players than the Bears are, who are not playing. We already know. I mentioned McCaffrey. I mentioned Mason. We know Brandon Ayuk's been gone for the year for some time. Trent Williams, dealing with his own personal tragedy, did not play yet again today. So they're running all over you without the best left tackle in the game. God knows what would have happened if Williams was on the field today. Nick Bosa, not there. Didn't matter. Everybody on the Niners defensive line was having a field day. Caleb Williams, there are plenty of opportunities in the first half. He couldn't even look up and go through his progressions because he had Malik Willis flying in his face.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. I don't know where you go from here, because I look at this and the way they have me feeling. And you mentioned Juwan Jennings. Anybody who's, you know, he's a name who might have snuck up on you a little bit if you're a casual fan. But the people in the Bears building should know what Juwan Jennings has been doing all season long. He has become the number one target man in their offense next to George Kittle. I know Deebo Samuel, he's a different versatile piece. He's not catching 10 balls a game.
He's completely fallen out of their offense.
He has. He's a shell of himself, but he actually looked decent today.
And you want to know how we know? Remember when he used to be the... If everyone else is hurt, you're the running back today?
Yes, yes.
That is over with.
Oh, yeah.
No, they used him, what, 2 runs?
I'm telling you, since he left, he played 2 plays in 1 game earlier this year and then had to be rushed to the hospital. He had pneumonia. Since that game, he's been dealing with other injuries as well. He really has not been the same player that people are used to seeing when they see Deebo Samuel. Which, oh, by the way, is all the more reason why Juwan Jennings... It should have been clear that he was going to be a focal point. He's been a focal point of their passing game, again, aside from George Kittle, for the better part of 2 months. There's a reason they have a saying in San Francisco, 3rd and Juwan. On 3rd down, they get the ball to Juwan Jennings because he usually finds himself in the open part of the zone and picks up first downs.
Yeah.
And the Bears had no clue. Juwan Jennings did whatever he wanted today. Seven catches, 90 yards, two touchdowns. Again, both in the first half. Game was over before they even got into the locker room at halftime. Just ridiculous. 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls again. We'll pop Jason McKee on as well when he gets a chance, when he gets to the airport in San Francisco. Let's try. We'll kick things off with Scott on the north side. What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. I just got, like, I'm a younger fan. I've been a fan of the Bears my whole life, but I've really started paying attention to them when they went with the 12-4 season.
Yep.
I just think, as a fan base as a whole, we should really change our mindset how we view, like, mediocrity. I just think I don't hear enough outspokenness, and I mean, I do now just because of how bad it's gotten, but, you know, you look at cities like Philly, Pittsburgh, Boston, like, Philly, there was talks about Sirianni like being in the hot seat after going 2-2.
Yep.
And I feel like with us, we don't hold our teams to that same standard of, you know, every year they're looking to win a Super Bowl, make the playoffs. Like, there's never been a down year for Tomlin. He's always looking to make the playoffs, always looking to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, it seems like the last 4 years, 3 years, it's been like, oh, maybe next year. I just think, you know, I'm sure the whole organization knows that they're not playing well, but I just think as a fan base, we don't let them know enough. And, you know, it all boils down to, you know, McCaskey makes the decisions, I understand. But I just think they need to kind of hear it from us more, and instead of just kind of sitting and watching this happen.
Well, listen,
let me know what you think.
Listen, Scott, we will always be your outlet. We're the home of the Chicago Bears, yeah, but we're obviously not going to silence fans. If you want to sound off, feel free. Anybody can join us. We're open to letting fans say what they want to say, and I think it's a lot of frustration right now. The truth is, though, you really want to make an owner feel it, you need to stop buying Bears apparel.
Yeah.
Stop buying Bears tickets. You know, there are moments, and I'll be curious to see how the season concludes, Pat, because I know the no-shows are never a good look for a franchise, and that always perturbs George McCaskey, but they also do have the tickets sold out throughout the season.
Yeah,
the one thing I'll add, though, before, I'll be curious to see how it unfolds, because Caleb Williams, if people bought tickets to see the Bears against the Seahawks the day after Christmas, they're going to want to go see Caleb Williams. They have a fun, young, potential franchise quarterback here that fans are still excited about. But a day like today really sapped my energy and excitement about him.
Yeah,
the team.
What you're hoping for now is that you have a team that can make it through the rest of the season. You have a team that can keep him alive the rest of the season, and that it doesn't turn into a complete dumpster fire by the time you get to the end that is not salvageable for you to bring another coach in here and try to change the culture. But you gotta look at a lot of things. I mean, today to me was a statement game of guys who, it looks like, hey, you don't want to be here? You don't want to play in these games? These are important games. These are games that, yeah, maybe you're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe you are out of the rest of this season. But, like, these are the games where you say, I want to be a part of the Chicago Bears team moving forward. I don't want to be the guy causing dissension in the locker room. And I saw a lot of guys that looked like they were making business decisions out there today, basically saying, look, I got a vacation booked in 5 weeks, and I want to make sure that I don't pull a hammy by the time it's time to go on it.
Stop calling people out and just go out and play your best football.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
100%.
If we could stop pointing at all these mistakes, all these player mistakes as well, that are apparent on the field. Let's try Bill, who's in the South Shore. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, man, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, just a few things, man. Like, for one, I love watching Shanahan calling offense, man. This guy, you know what I mean? Everyone talks about all the great plays that he has downfield and stuff, but, man, they play a power game. You see them out of the same sets all the time, running a variety of plays where you don't know what's coming because there's so many things you could do that he's not tipping his cap. You know, and then you talk about the Bears losing seasons. To think that the Steelers ain't had a losing season since 2003 is mind-blowing to me. Mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. The fact that they started this season with Eberflus at the helm, did it again, didn't have everything lined up. It's just really, you know, I'm getting older, man. My old man's still alive. He's old. And it, you know what? Like, it's sad, man. Yeah. It's sad to – it's crazy,
man. You see a lot of seasons, see a lot of years of your life passing by, Bill. And
it makes you wonder. It's a lot of hours watching the
games,
man.
And you reflect.
You guys stay blessed.
All right. You too, Bill. Now, listen, if you're he's absolutely right about the Steelers, Pat. Bears fans, I'm gonna recommend you don't watch the new version of Hard Knocks AFC North edition, because it's like torture porn if you're a Bears fan. It will drive you crazy watching not just Mike Tomlin, but I suspect, too, John Harbaugh. You know, we saw a little snippet of him in the most recent episode. That didn't necessarily make you feel great either about where the Bears are at as an organization. So
here's the one that's worse. I felt better watching the Browns' Hard Knocks with Jameis Winston. At least feeling like it does kind of feel like they're coaching guys the right way in there. It doesn't seem like they're just like going through it than anything we saw from the Bears.
And the truth is, too, one episode into that, which just started on Tuesday, where they started showing the episodes on HBO, it is such a different feel versus the Bears Hard Knocks, which in retrospect was clearly a bunch of cotton candy with no nutritional value for Bears fans. 312-332-3776. Lines are pretty jammed. If you want to jump on in, we got two lines open. So get in now. We'll try and get you in before we wrap up. Jason McKee will be joining us here in a little bit as well from San Francisco. He was on the sidelines with Pat the Designer. I'm Jeff Meller. This is the Bears post-game show on ESPN 1000. We can keep it here, Kendra. That's fine. Well, you know, we'll keep flowing. Let me know if when the board's ready. No worries. Let's try back on the post-game show. Let's try. Let's go with who's been hanging there. Robert in Los Angeles. We'll slip him in. What's going on, Robbie?
Hi. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
What's happening, man?
Yes. The first thing that I'd like to mention is that player accountability. There's zero of that. So if you go back to the Washington game, there's no way in the world. I'm 52 years old, rooted for the Bears my entire life. Mike Ditka never would have allowed that to happen. And for our general manager, our head coach, to not suspend a player for an egregious mistake on national television right before the most important play of the game.
You going back to Tyree Stevenson, Robert?
Stevenson taunting a fan when he should be paying attention. Then he compounds the play because he runs. He knows he's out of position. He's not paying attention, and he's the one that tips the ball. So we start there. And then they had 10 days to prepare for the Niners, who have four starters out. And there's no professionalism because I suffer more when the Bears lose than I think they do. I don't collect a paycheck like they do to play football games. They do. And they need to have some kind of accountability towards the city of Chicago and the fans that day in and day out, year in and year out, we root for these players.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, 90s, I think there was a commercial that say we cheer for them. So in other words, we're living through them. Because we would love to be in that position. I played sports before. That's one. Second of all, we need to go after, I would say, Graham out of Michigan. We need a defensive lineman to stop the run. And we need a pass rusher opposite of Montez Sweat.
Sure.
Another thing we should do is we need, if you look at the most successful, this is not brain surgery. You look at the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, they have highly paid left tackles. We have Braxton Jones. That's not acceptable.
Yeah. No, listen, I hear you, Robert. I think we all kind of know where the obvious holes are on this roster, right? It's apparent that the offensive line could certainly use some fixing. In fact, they need another pass rusher, preferably an edge rusher on the other side of Montez Sweat. But Pat, I think a tackle, you know, is probably a more glaring issue, and it's not just a tackle. You also need some help on your in the interior as well.
Listen, you need
everywhere. On the
realistically, you may need five guys because Darnell Wright has not had a great season. Yeah. Now I think that may come back if you start to put some guys next to him who are a little bit more talented.
And the truth is, they're too invested in him.
He's not going anywhere.
He's going to be here for 2 years, whether he's productive or not. But I'm with you. I'd like to see a better effort from the 10th overall pick.
And the concern is that, you know, listen, you didn't address it when there were clear guys who have played really well this season available for you. Going into next free agency, you don't have a great free agent class of offensive linemen available to you. Going into this next draft, yeah, there's some nice offensive linemen that are going to be out there, but I don't know if you have guys where, you know, you feel like that could be a 10-year guy. I was a big Jackson Powers Johnson guy. The Raiders have moved him over to their starting center. Yeah, tough play last week, but for the most part, he's handled the job fairly well. You know, like, those are guys that you want to have in front of your rookie quarterback, and you miss the opportunity to take a swing at them. They may not be there in this year's draft, but that's on you to find that guy. But the concern is, Jeff, that, listen, I look at the Bengals as kind of our comparable right now. Unfortunately, they went to a Super Bowl, and we can't win four games. But, you know what I mean? Like, I look at the Bengals as a good comparable for the Bears right now, where you can't say they haven't tried. They have signed guys. They have drafted guys. They have tried to find these guys who are good offensive linemen to put in front of Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
They have not worked out, which means there's an issue with the assessment in the front office. That's what scares me the most. When I look at the guys that have gone past you this season that you could have had on this offensive line for your rookie quarterback, who's like the number one overall pick, probably the most important pick ever in your franchise, and I look at the guys that you actually went out and got, I have a real concern. I've been saying this since week two with Ryan Poles' job of how he goes about assessing these guys who are in front of his quarterback. Because if we look at the offensive line, none of the signings he's made have worked out. Most of the trades he's made for the O-line have been injured. I guess Darnell Wright is kind of the one that you look to, but Tevin Jenkins ain't even a Poles guy, exactly. And he may not be here next season.
And to that point about Darnell Wright, if you really start to hone in, you know, again, he was supposed to be a foundational piece to this line, a guy you wouldn't even have to think twice about, especially in his second year. I think we all were expecting, because he had a solid rookie year. I think we were all expecting him to take another step forward based on his pedigree as a highly thought of right tackle prospect. And it has gotten to the point where, you know, and I don't know if it's just everybody around him, you know, is struggling as well. And so it is more difficult for him if he's trying to do too much. Just worry about your own assignment, but that's not always working either. And so, yeah, to your point about Ryan Poles and his abilities to scout offensive linemen, honestly, we don't have one good representation of a Ryan Poles find here, really.
He hasn't found a single offensive lineman that's been worth
anything. Like, when you look
maybe
at
maybe Darnell. Darnell's the one we hold out hope for, but outside of that, like.
But, like, again, when you
Nate
pick
Davis. Horrible.
Yes.
Coleman Ryan, Shelton, a joke. Lucas Ryan Patrick, Bates. A joke. Ryan Bates can't get on the field. Was he played a game? A game?
Yeah. Has he played a full game?
I think a full game is different. I mean, game on the starting sheet,
yeah.
I guess.
I think he has. He's played one, maybe two. But, yeah, Coleman Shelton, whatever. It's fine. He's a guy.
Braxton would be a piece I'd give you praise for if you didn't fall so far in love with him that you were forcing him to continue to be the starting left tackle. Like, if you go out and tell me, yeah, for a couple of seasons he was solid, perfect.
Yeah.
That's a guy, that's what you're supposed to do. But you also, listen, and it's one thing that has stuck with me in Hard Knocks, right? Ryan Poles gets very invested in his guys. He believes in his guys, which is what I like with a GM. You want to have that relationship, but I wonder if he gets too invested to where he can't see past their inefficiencies. That scene of him walking off crying with Adrian Colbert, which, listen, that's your guy. He's a guy that you rock with, you're very close with. A little much for a dude that is a clear third string safety in this NFL. Yeah,
at best was going to be, you know, a seventh or eighth defensive back on your roster.
Yeah, like, and I get it. I get the personal moment. Great guy.
We all liked what we saw from him on Hard Knocks.
And I guess if you take anything from that, you take the fact that he was willing to cut that guy. But, I mean, it's just those are the moments where I go, okay, are you too in love with the pieces that you've had? Are you too in love with the moves that you've made?
Are you too in love with good guys? Are you too in love with good guys?
Good guys.
You know, the reality is football. It's
a violent game, as your new head coach has said.
And nice guys oftentimes don't get it done. You need some guys who are out there willing to eat glass, and the Bears don't seem to have that right now. And again, the issue too, the defense completely falling apart today. You know, that was probably to be expected when you had Kyle Shanahan on the other side of the ball in place and just basically doing whatever you wanted. Atrocious. Vegas, 38-13. Bears lose their seventh straight game.